Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your co-host, Adia Sanders, and I want to welcome you to the Possession, Resources, and Finance table. Tonight, we'll have a really good topic. I think that will be of interest to you. And tonight's show is entitled End of 2013 Tax Holiday. As we all know, that April 15th, which is this coming Tuesday, is the last day for everyone to file their taxes. So what we're going to do tonight is provide you with some last-minute tips and reminders and just reiterate some things that we've talked about from previous shows. I do want to say now that I apologize to the callers that called on last week who did press 1 on their dial pad as I so nicely asked for everyone to do, did not recognize or have enough knowledge or sense to realize that the question mark meant that somebody pressed 1. So now that I have that information, I am tuned in. So I will tell you from my heart, when you press 1 on your dial pad, I will be able to see it. So we're not going to prolong the time anymore. We're going to go ahead and get right into our topic. A couple of items that we're going to be discussing on tonight as it relates to the end of the tax year holiday for 2013 is employee deadlines, tax extensions, the last day that you can make contributions, financial contributions, and how to fund an IRA or 401k. And when you're the last day to make contributions to a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, health savings account, SEP IRA, or solo 401k for the tax year 2013. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it. We all know that, again, April 15th is the last day to file your taxes. It's very important because we want to ensure that we don't accrue any penalties. A lot of times, many people may not know, have this information, especially if you are young and have never filed taxes before. This is information that we definitely want to get out to the public. So one thing is to know what the deadline is. There have been times that it has been extended because the 15th has fallen on a Saturday or a Sunday. So you get that day or two for an extension. So the first thing is that tax season ends on April 15th. The other thing is just to understand what happens when you do not file by the 15th. When you don't file by the 15th, you can ask for an extension from the IRS, and you may have to do this in writing, or they have on their website where you can probably send a request there. But most of the times it's probably better to do it in writing. For your tax extension, the form number is 4868. And with this tax extension, when you fill out this form, you have 6 months to file your return. And if you owe any payments, your payment is still going to be due. But what this does is that it covers and protects you from any penalties, because if you do not file by the due date, you can accrue a penalty. I know for those listeners that are military, it's good information for you to understand and to know that if you are deployed, you also are given an extension. You just need to make sure that you have a copy of your deployment orders that have the dates that you were deployed, the from and through dates, and you can also have your S-1, which somebody from your human resources department within your unit to do a statement of service that will verify that you were, in fact, deployed and what those dates were. So there are things out there that can definitely protect you from being penalized by the IRS if you are unable to file your taxes by the 15th of the month. Tonight we are a pleasure to have Brother DeJuan, who is going to provide additional information. I do not have the expertise, But what information and knowledge I do have, I'm very and always willing to share that information. Another tip, so again, press 1 on your dial pad if you have a comment or a question, and we will do everything that we can to give you the answer that you need. And if we cannot, we will definitely redirect you or get that information to you in a timely manner. So what are some other things that you need to know about filing this tax extension since we are so close, 5 days away from tax season ending for 2013? You do not need to submit a paper form of the 4868 if you file it with the payment. Using your electronic payment options, your extension will be automatically processed when you pay part or all of your estimated income tax electronically, and you can pay online or by phone. If you're using e-file using your personal computer or through a tax professional, there is information that you can refer to with the tax software package or your tax preparer for ways to file electronically. So just make sure that you let them know what you're going to do, and beforehand, you also have the option to pay electronic funds withdrawal or send your check or money order to the address that's shown in the middle column under where to file a paper form 4868. So there's a lot of different information that is out there for you. IRS.gov website has a lot of information, but also we want to make sure that we impart this information with you. This is how we not just do our part, but this is how we get the information out there to support you. So again, Form 4868, apply for 6 months. And if you live out of the country, you have 4 months. You can get a 4-month extension for filing your taxes if you live out of the country. And you have to be a U.S. citizen or resident, of course, to file your Form 1040, 1040A, EZ, NR, NR-EZ, and all the other forms that are available for your tax filing purposes. The form is does give you general information. Not a lot of information, I think, that will overwhelm you, but just some things that I'd like to highlight with you. Some information that I'd like to highlight with you is that there is a late payment penalty. The late payment penalty is usually half or 1% of any tax other than estimated tax not paid by April 15, 2014. And it is charged for each month or part of a month that the tax is unpaid. The maximum penalty is 25%. So you can either pay the least, which is either half or 1%, or the max, which is at 25%. The late payment penalty will not be charged if you can show reasonable cause for not paying on time and just attach a statement to your return fully explaining the reason. Do not attach the statement to your 4868. You are considered to have reasonable cause for the period covered by this automatic extension of at least 90% of your actual 2013 tax liability is paid before the regular due date of your return through withholding estimate. Estimated tax payments or payments made with the form 4868. Another additional fact is for military is 6 months after returning from a deployment. So whether you're returning from a deployment or you're not military and you just need an extension to file your taxes, the maximum is 6 months if you are in the country and 4 months if you are outside of the country. So what are those out of the country? What does that look like? How does that apply? May apply to you or someone else that you know. If you're out of country, what that means is you live outside the United States and Puerto Rico, and your main place of work is outside of the United States and Puerto Rico. If you are military or naval service on duty outside of the United States and Puerto Rico. If you qualify as being out of the country, you will also still be eligible for the extension, even if you are physically present in the United States or Puerto Rico on the regular due date of the return. So if you're visiting here or you had to come back for business, but your job has your place of work has you working outside of the United States and Puerto Rico, if you're here on the 15th when the taxes are due, you are still you're still eligible for an extension. Let's see if there's anything else that we can I can think of. They do have information about interest. You will owe interest on any tax not paid by the regular due date of your return, even if you qualify for the 2-month extension because you were out of the country, and the interest runs until you pay the tax. So you definitely want to make sure that you do pay it, because you don't want that interest accruing. Again, I ask that you press 1 on your dial pad if you have any questions, comments, or just anything that you like to share with us, any knowledge that you may have. Gladly will get you on the line so that you can share that knowledge with everyone that is here. So the next topic, and I'm going to turn this over to Brother Dewan. He's going to just run over some different things, dealing more with investing, different topics, and we'll just go back and forth. So I'm going to turn it over to him at this time.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here once again. As she said, there are a lot of different things that you can do to prepare yourself as the tax deadline is fastly approaching on the 15th. Doesn't mean we have to get nervous. We just have to be willing to go ahead and get all our documents together and get ready to take advantage, because that's where we fail at a lot, and we find out that we owe money. But won't belabor the point. I just want to make sure I cover a couple things with the IRA, because that's really one of the things that people forget about. And when you owe money to the government, that is one way to reduce your income, and that'll help you. So if you owe money, you won't have to pay as much, and it's also helping your future, because hey, that's something that you'll be able to use. Couple keys. One, when you're looking for, I want to make sure that you understand the publication. On the IRS website, the publication when you're dealing with IRAs, individual retirement accounts, is publication 590. So they update that every year. And the reason they update that is because during the different tax seasons, the amount changes. So for instance, in 2012, the amount was less than it was for 2010. You can contribute $5,500 for 2013. Well, for the 2013 tax season, but that number was different last year. So just want to make sure that we understand how these numbers keep changing, and we just have to take advantage of it. Let me give you the actual numbers. For 2014, the dollar limit that you can contribute, and remember, you can contribute these dollars to the IRA at any point up until the 15th, and it'll go for that tax year. So again, like I said, by contributing, it reduces the taxable income that you have, and that's what you want to do. You try to reduce your taxable income, because if not, you could be paying a lot of money. And again, like I said before, that IRA, it's for your retirement. So you have something, you're building a nest egg. So essentially, you're saving yourself money when you're going to get hit up with fees if you owe money. But the actual numbers, $5,500 if you're age 49 or younger, or $6,500 if you're age 50 or older. The government set that up for a reason, because obviously as you get older, you won't have as much retirement years, so to say. I mean, if you typically say, okay, younger people are going to be retired for longer. So theoretically, that's the way it'll happen. So that's why the amounts, and then actually at age 70 and a half, it phases out. You can't even contribute anymore, because typically a 70 and a half year old person is not working unless they're just doing things on their own. For 2008, 9, 10, 11, and 12, the dollar limit for those IRAs was actually $5,000 for age 49 and 6,000 for age 50. But people that were age 50, they were actually able to contribute an additional $1,000 in this thing called a catch-up contribution, because that's something that's really nice, because you'll find out a lot of people that didn't contribute money, they didn't think about retirement, and maybe as they got wiser, they thought about it more so and said, hey, how can I add to my amount? So, yes, it's $1,000 extra than a person that's 49 years old or younger, but the government put it out there and say, you know what, we're going to also give you an extra $1,000 to try and catch up, which it really helps. I actually had a family member that was not – that didn't contribute for the longest. He had worked in the church for the longest. I mean, he still does. He's never worked outside of the church. And he was like, wow, when I get ready to retire, I need some money. So finally he got with his financial planner, and they helped him figure out how to contribute. And now he's on – you know, a better road, and that's what we want to do with you all. We want to make sure that you're set up for better success, that when you file your taxes, you're getting all the little key things that can help you. So, hope I didn't lose anyone. When we're talking about reducing, you also want to think about as you maximize deductions. Because standard deduction, and then there's the itemized that you can do. And that helps you when you're thinking about it, because, one, that is reducing it. And if you can add different things to help you itemize, that would be something great for you. So, again, like I said, we have the IRA, you have the traditional IRA, you have the SEP, and you have the Roth. So you just have to really sit down. I mean, you don't want to just go into it blind and not know exactly what you're doing. Any bank, they will gladly take that information for you, because they want to help their bottom line, but at the same time, they're helping your bottom line. So if you're near any local bank or credit union, I would gladly go over there. There's forms all over the internet, but to help you get through it, I would go there. And even the tax companies, you know, your H&R Block, your Jackson Hewitt, those companies, they're all in line to try and make sure that you can maximize your deduction. So they will help you fill out the IRA. If you never thought about an IRA, now is the time, because, as we say, there's no better time to start saving than now. I mean, there's nothing worse than saying, wow, I could have put $1,000 in. And, yes, there are limits, the $5,500 and the $6,500, but you don't have to actually give that full amount. You can put any amount that you want as long as it doesn't go over that threshold. And as you get ready for the following years, now you can start saying, okay, how can I add to this? Maybe I'll pull $250 out if I got it. Or if you need $50 a month to add to it every month. So, hey, $50 a month times 12, wow, that's a sizable chunk of money that you just added. So just want you to try and think about those things as you get ready to sign all your tax forms for the tax year. So with that, I will let my sister, Adia, take over from here, and she will provide some more topics for our discussion.
Hello, everyone. So I'm back. Again, just want to remind you to press dial 1 on your dial pad if you have a question or comment or anything that you think would be of great benefit. And so just wanted to share with you just some tips that I think would be very helpful and very useful now and in the future. So on April 8th, the IRS just put out some reminders for taxpayers to review their tax returns for common errors, because that will definitely hold and delay you from getting your tax refund if you haven't already gotten it thus far. So file electronically. If you're filing electronically, whether it's through e-file or through IRS free file, it vastly reduces tax return errors because the software is going to do the calculations for you. It also flags common errors, and it prompts the taxpayers for missing information. So this is a free option for everybody, but these are just things that will help to reduce or just minimize to where there are no how to avoid those common mistakes. Mail a paper return to the right address. I know I was watching the news a couple of weeks ago, and a gentleman mailed his taxes or did it electronically, and he got his check, and it ended up going all the way to Washington State, and he lived on the East Coast. No one could explain how that happened, but things, there are glitches. No one is perfect or free of error. But these are just things that we just want to make sure that we highlight and inform our PRS table guests. Take a close look at the tax tables. When you're figuring with your figuring your taxes, use the tax tables. If you go on the IRS.gov website, that tax table is there for you. And taxpayers should also be sure that they're using the correct column for the filing status that is claimed. So whether that filing status is married, single, married filing joint, married filing separate, head of household, whatever those statuses are, you want to make sure it's correct because it will affect what your refund amount is or how much you owe, and you don't want to end up owing money because of an error. Review all of your figures. You know, software catches and prevents errors, but sometimes there could be a glitch in that system. So just make sure that you're checking the information, definitely if you're using the paper form. Go and make sure you have the correct routing and account numbers. This is very important, especially if you're doing electronic deposit. You do not want your money to go to somebody else's account just because you were one number off, and now you're upset and frustrated because you haven't gotten your return. You go on the IRS website where it says, "Where's my refund?" and it says that this money was already deposited. Now you have to go through the process of, you know, contacting your bank, contacting the IRS, having that money withdrawn. You know, you have somebody who's probably, this really is an account for them, thinking that they just got blessed. Y'all know how we do sometimes. We think we got blessed and that money is not ours, and people will spend it. So you want to make sure that you're giving the correct information, that you verify. If you don't know what your routing number is, you can go on your bank's online website. In a search window, you can just type in routing number, and it will pull it up in a matter of seconds, and just verify that information. Sign and date the return. If you're filing a joint return, both spouses must sign and date the return. E-filers can sign using a self-selected personal identification PIN number. Make sure you attach all of the required forms, W-2s, which will reflect your tax withholding, to the front of your returns. If you're requesting a payment agreement with the IRS, make sure you attach form 9465. Again, if you are submitting or requesting a payment agreement with the IRS, make sure you also attach a form 9465 to the return and attach any and all necessary documents with it as well, and ensure that you put the sequence number shown in the upper right-hand corner of that document. Keep a copy of the return. All tax preparers are going to make sure that you have a copy of your return. If they forget or do not give it to you, make sure you ask for a copy of your return. That is your record. That is your record. If you're requesting a filing an extension, I will not beat this dead horse. You can do it to make sure you prevent any late filing penalties. Free file or form 4868. Okay, and if tax payments are still due on April 15th, so that is just something to keep in mind, that your tax payments are still due on the 15th. And if you owe tax, there are a number of e-payment options that are available. I know there are quite a few commercials that I hear on the new radio. I'm pretty sure you've heard them as well or seen commercials. But this is how I see stuff. If somebody is giving you options, that means that there is a way out. And a lot of times people have negative connotations about the IRS or about a lot of different topics because of their experience. But I think sometimes people do not take advantage of the options that are given to them, and they just let so much time prolong that now they back themselves up in a corner or against the wall. So now that company or government entity cannot help you because of what you've done. So, yes, now you do have to get a tax attorney. But there are a lot of payment options that are available to you. You can send a check or money order payable to the United States Treasury. So this is information that I think is good for you to know. Also, just to put it out there to you, if you are filing as an injured spouse, if you are married and your spouse has some financial issues such as child support, student loans, or other things that fall up under the realm, that fall up under the government, you will have to file as the spouse who is being injured. You want to do this because you want to make sure that when you file your taxes, that they do not take the money that you have earned for that tax year. This is very important for you to do this. There is a form, and if you give me a few minutes, I'm going to look it up so I can give you the correct information. If you know anybody that falls into this category, make sure you let them know. The form is 8379 for injured spouse allocation. The kicker with this one is that it does take quite a while for you to get your return. And just to give you a little bit of background information, the injured spouse on a jointly filed tax return, keyword is jointly. If you are not filing jointly, this does not apply to you. In order to get your share of the joint refund, when the joint overpayment is applied, you have to make sure apply to a past due obligation of the other spouse. You want to file this form because what will happen is that if you do not file it, you're going to get a letter in the mail, and they're going to tell you that they're going to be taking your refund because of whatever the reason is. It is probably because of your spouse. So you want to make sure that you file that form at the time that you file your taxes so that it is attached with your tax return, and it can be done electronically. If you forget to do this, you can do an amendment. All is not lost. However, just keep in mind that this process does take anywhere from 11 to 12 weeks. It may have extended past that due to a lot of different laws and stuff change. There may be a reduction in employees that work there or whatever the case may be, or there may be an abundance of people who have had to file in this status, so the workload is greater than previous tax season. So keep all of these things in mind as you are preparing for the end of the tax year for 2013. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Dewan. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. Excellent information that you were given, things to think of. In addition to that, just want to make sure that while the extension is coming up and people like, wow, what will I do? I owe money. Well, you definitely still want to file your taxes, even if you can't pay. And if you have some money, you know you can pay. There are tools online. You can go through the IRS website to actually estimate how much you will owe. Because even though you have an extension, that doesn't take away from the April 15th deadline for you to pay whatever money that you owe. So do the best job of trying to estimate, even though you've got time to send in the form. One of the other reasons that you want to make sure that you can file, because I know we just got through talking about extension, so file or do an extension, because if you just say, well, I don't have any money, I can't pay it, that IRS will not go for that. Because there's actually a penalty for failing to pay the taxes. Obviously, that's what we're discussing, so it's 0.5%, which if you say you owe $5,000, then basically you'll be charged about $25 for each month. But in contrast, and you owe money, that same $5,000 that you owe, it'll actually be charged $250 a month. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So definitely make sure that you file your taxes or file for an extension, because you'll be in a world of hurt. So I just wanted to make sure we cover that topic, because I see a lot of people get behind. Another thing, going back to what she brought up, it was excellent, talking about having the right information. Sometimes you definitely want to check the people that you have doing your taxes. I know we covered it in another topic before, but don't have any tax preparer sign your information over to them. Because if they're signing your information and they're telling you, well, we'll write you a check, that's a no-go. Never let someone else write you a check. Your check should be coming from the government, because you're the person that was paying taxes to the government. So I just don't want you to fall into that pitfall, not trying to down any businesses, because there are legitimate tax businesses that are out there, legitimate CPAs, individual tax preparers that are doing excellent jobs out there. I mean, there was a person I used to work for. She did an excellent job. But there's always people that try to run amok of the system, and I just want to make sure that you're aware of that. And not get caught in that rut, and you're sitting here like, wow, I didn't get the money, I owed money, now what will I do? What will I do? So make sure you assure that. Double check that. And I know she said make sure that they're giving you a copy of your return. Well, you shouldn't even get to the point of make sure, because if I'm doing business with you and you don't give me a return, then I don't need to be doing business with you. I shouldn't have to, no, not only shouldn't I, I'm not going to remind you that you're going to give me a copy. And as you're going with someone, make sure they're going and explaining it to you, because you don't want to just have a tax return prepared and you have no idea what's going on. Because what if they're trying to escape the system and put stuff that's incorrect on there? If you know you didn't contribute to something, or you didn't pay money to fix your investment house up, then don't allow them to just put stuff on there, because at the end of the day, they're not liable. They're coming back at you. And the government, believe it, the IRS actually audits a lot of tax returns. Just because you don't get a call doesn't mean that your taxes weren't audited. Because they have to do checks and balances, which is helpful, because they're doing their job. They're making sure they're staying abreast of any new changes, because, again, the law, tax laws change so often. That's why some years we will have to wait to file taxes, because the information hasn't come out yet. They're still waiting to do things. So those are some of the things that you could do to help prepare. You know, as this date, again, is fastly approaching, rapidly approaching, and you can definitely take advantage. With that also, another thing you want to do is try and maximize your deductions and credits. A lot of taxpayers make that mistake. They won't take advantage of, I know I just brought up how some people are putting the wrong ones down, but every now and then there's some that you forget about. You know, you gave money to this charity. You did other things. You had business lunches. So many different things. I don't want to go back and rehash all the things that we discussed earlier, but just giving you a brief synopsis of those titles. So you have kids, you're paying child care if that kid is under 13, and you have either a single parent or two parents, and both of them are working. Then daycare. Make sure that the daycare centers are giving you the tax ID. Those are things that you paid for, and now the government is saying, you know what, we're going to give you credit for that. So make sure you take advantage of that. If you're paying mortgage interest on your home, make sure. Now, there is a difference, and you can pay mortgage interest on your home that you live in. Mortgage interest that you pay on an investment property is it's in a different category, so make sure you don't combine those two. I've seen some people trying to do taxes try to combine the two when they're not. because there's a form that you will use just for investment property. So I will pass the phone back to Sister Adia, let her go ahead and take over the mic, because I'm sure she has great information to share. But again, feel free to ask any questions, and if we don't know the answers, we both know how to do the research. I mean, I still have people that I go to for guidance when I don't know things, because the tax code and the tax law is vast. But we're here to help you, and you're here to also help us. So with that, I will give the mic back to Sister Adia.
All right. Here, thank you again just for listening in. Just want to provide you with some with 10 important tax time tips. And again, you can go to irs.gov. One thing that Dewan mentioned was to make sure that you gather your records. Collect all of your tax records that you need in order to file your taxes. This includes receipts, canceled checks, and records that support income, deduction, or tax credits that you claim, and store them in a safe place. So this information, while it's good for the April 15, 2014 deadline, this is also good information that a year from now, or in November or December, or even as late as January when the tax season comes back around again, you can go back into the archives and listen to this episode dated April 10th, 2014, to just help you re-energize and just get the juices flowing about some items to be to kind of think about. Report all of your income from all of your W-2 forms, wage and tax statements, and Form 1099 income statements when you file your tax return. You want to get answers. If you go on the IRS.gov website, there's an interactive tax assistant tool that can help you to get answers to a lot of questions that you have about tax credits, deductions, and a lot of other topics. You also have access to use the free file, and it's available to you exclusively on IRS.gov. So if your income was $58,000 or less, you qualify to use the free tax software. If your income was higher, or if you're comfortable doing your own tax, you can also use free file fillable forms, the electronic version of the IRS paper forms. Try IRS e-file, which is probably the best way to file your tax return. It's accurate, safe, and it's easy, and it's faster. Just to give you a number, last year a little more than 122 million taxpayers used IRS e-file. And again, if you owe taxes, April 15th is your deadline. Look at the different options that you have when filing your tax return. Do it yourself, or you can use a tax preparer. And I know for military, we have tax centers on the installations, which are free of charge to us. So highly recommended to military, whether you're retired or are a dependent. So that information is available to you as well. Using direct deposit, because the money is going to go directly to your account. But again, you just want to make sure that you have your banking routing and account number information that is accurate to provide. And you can check on the status of your refund by going to IRS.com, clicking on Where's My Refund. There's information that you have to put in there, and that will be on your tax documents, which is important to make sure that that's why you have a copy of it. And, again, I know we talked about IRS Publication 17. Again, I will say that IRS Publication 17, it is a complete tax resource. It has a lot of information. Doesn't matter what the question is about rental property, nonprofit organizations, if you're filing, you know, questions about your house, charitable giving, that is in Publication 17. It is a very goes in depth and very good information that will definitely educate you about the different federal income tax questions that you may have. And make sure you review your return. That way it doesn't slow down the receipt of your tax refund. Just make sure that you have Social Security numbers and match your calculations on your return. So those are just some really good tips that we I just thought it's just important to be able to share this information, because some people may not think to go on the website. Some people, you know, may not have the time. So this is definitely a place where we can provide that information to you. In addition to that, I did see something that I just wanted to share, and that was just, you know, beware of tax scams. You know, those people are out there, and we don't want anybody to have to suffer the consequences for somebody else's selfishness, because that is exactly what it is. So here's some things that you may want to look out for, because the tax season is coming to an end. You know, they're desperate. I'm just going to let you know that they're desperate and they're hungry and thirsty to get your information. So here's some of the characteristics of tax scammers. They use fake names and IRS badge numbers. They generally use common names and surnames to identify themselves. So this is Mary Jane Smith. Well, they might have somebody named Shaniqua or Caitlin that works there. And Caitlin's last name might be Kavatowski. They're not going to use a name like that. They're going to use those common names, Mary, Don, Billy, William, Robert, Cheryl, Carol, Rebecca, Jessica. So you want to be aware of that. They may be able to recite the last four digits of your Social Security number. Remember, people, there are ways to get that information, so we do not want to just negate that information. Scammers, you know, they may spoof the IRS toll-free number, meaning that they're able to tie into the IRS number with very advanced technical information or electronic information and make it appear as if it's the IRS calling. They also may send out information, emails, you know, to support the phone calls. If you hear background noise being conducted to mimic a call site, that's just another tip. They may be in a warehouse or have rented some type of building, or if they begin to threaten you with jail time or driver's license revocation, you know, they will hang up and soon call back pretending to be the local police or DMV. So they are willing to go the lengths to frighten you and to put fear in you so that you will give up this information. But do not give up this information. You make sure that you call the IRS and call your local police office to let them know what is going on so that these people hopefully can be tracked down. Sometimes it is difficult, but I think taking a stand is better than doing anything, because they could be caught and you can help to save somebody else, just like you did, from being caught up in a scam. And just, you know, cover yourself. If you get a pen, don't share that pen with anybody. You know, if you check in your refund on your cell phone, because they do have an app, you know, make sure that people can't look at your information, that they can't look at your last name or the amount that you're putting in there. You would not believe the number of wandering eyes when it comes to people's cell phones. They are doing it. The other thing is, just want to provide some information on the healthcare tips. We know that the Affordable Care Act, that deadline, I want to say was either this month or it might have been the end of March, March 31st, so it was last month. Some people were able to get extensions, but we just want to make sure that we put the healthcare tax tips. Find out what you need to know about your healthcare choices and how it may affect your taxes. Go to the health insurance marketplace. Learn about the health insurance coverage options, the premium tax credit. Learn the basics of the premium tax credit, including who might be eligible and how to get the credit. You also have the individual shared responsibility payment. There's an overview. It provides information about the types of qualifying coverage exemptions, and having coverage. Three timely tips about taxes and the health care law, about filing for the 2013 tax return, and four tax facts about the health care law for individuals. If you have any changes in circumstances that can affect your premium tax credit, you just want to learn the importance of reporting any change in circumstances that involve family size or income when advance payments of the premium tax credit are involved. Again, if you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we will get you in the queue. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Dewan if he has any last-minute comments. And we're going to wrap our show up. And, again, we thank you so much for joining us on tonight's show, end of 2013 tax holiday.
Thank you again. I know the topic has been veered towards filing your income taxes for this year. However, I want to make sure we don't forget that if you didn't file taxes in previous years, that you have up to three years. So right now, for the 2010 tax season, you have until April 15th to file if you have a return. Again, obviously we covered the ones who owe money. That's different. But right now there's over $760 million estimated by the IRS that people have not claimed. And it's funny, the two largest states that people haven't claimed their refunds in terms of numbers is you have California, Florida, and Texas. Just so happen to be states that don't have taxes. So that's the funny, because a lot of military will use that because there's no state tax, because obviously they get their taxes from tourism and other things within those states. But you definitely want to make sure that if you're owed money, if the government owes you money, make sure you go ahead and file that return. People may think that they don't have, that the government doesn't have any money for them, but go ahead and file it, and you'll be amazed. I mean, even if they give you a refund for $100, then that goes back into the earlier topic about, okay, I can save. So now I got $100 that I can start saving. Somebody already put $100 extra in my pocket. So definitely make sure you take advantage of those. Again, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, again, just dial in. But just wanted to ensure that there are sources out there for you. You have the IRS, you have the website, you have the phone number that you can call. You have your local tax preparers, the military. They have the tax centers. They also have the different companies that give sometimes free services, like H&R Block, I know. They did it. I didn't check this year, but they were doing, basically they would file your taxes for free, and it didn't have an income threshold. Obviously, when you get into this very specialized tax forms, yes, it's going to take a little bit more. But make sure you take advantage of all those resources out there and don't just try and go and get things done as quick as possible, because you could miss out on things. The time is now to start preparing for next year's tax return, as Sister Adia said. So with that, I will pass the phone back to her.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you again for joining us and pulling up a seat at the Possession Resources and Finance table. We're getting ready to close our show out. We hope that it was that you gained a lot of knowledge, and that you will pay it forward and share that information with someone else who may not have ever known this information that was provided on tonight. We thank you for listening in and dialing in with us, and we look forward to hearing your comments or questions, or you just getting on a call as a listening ear on next week. Thank you and have a good night. And remember to share this information and take it to the streets.